ladies and gentlemen. First case for argument is United States versus Hautaling. Mr. Brandstrader.
May it please this court. Good morning, Your Honor. Counsel for the government. My name is Thomas Brandstrader. I was appointed to represent Mr. Hautaling in the district court and in this court. Mr. Hautaling pled guilty to sending a letter to a United States District Court judge from his prison cell in Pontiac while serving a prison sentence for murder and perjury. He pled guilty to that offense. The range agreed upon by the parties was, the sentencing range was 41 to 51 months. The matter was heard by the district court, and a sentence of 120 months, or 10 years, the maximum, was imposed. Mr. Hautaling filed a notice of appeal. It is our respectful request this morning to ask this court to consider whether the underlying record justifies the harshness of the sentence.
You know, you say that Judge Moody placed too much weight on the contents of the letter. But doesn't the content, including in particular the references to the mother, to the murder of Judge Lefkoe's mother and husband, reflect a what I would think was a particularly calculated effort to instill fear and anguish?
There is no doubt and no argument that the contents of the letter were scurrilous. And Mr. Hautaling pled guilty to them. What we think the district court failed to weigh is Mr. Hautaling's, first, his personal circumstances, and second, the application of the cruel, heinous, and degrading language to impose the maximum sentence may have been misplaced in this, not for the content, because the content was despicable, but as I read that particular section of the that contains that language in the sentencing scheme, it talks about continued torture and gratuitous infliction of injuries. The record is silent, and he did not plead, or his plea was to sending the letter. The record is silent as to whether the addressee ever even saw this letter. So whether there was any type of continuing infliction of distress on the addressee, the application may have been inappropriate in that as my client pled guilty to sending the letter, the record is silent as to whether the victim of the letter ever saw it. So we can't say whether this particular official ever did suffer any additional injury or pain.
Well, then, why doesn't the need to protect the public at large, in addition to Judge Lefkoe, not support the sentence, given his overall criminal history, the fact that he was convicted of...
Well, that is a difficult argument to address, Judge, because he did send this from prison. He did was found guilty of being accountable for a murder. He did commit perjury when he first testified for the state against one of his co-defendants, and then he tried to recant that testimony. However, when you look at Justin Hautaling as an individual, a person who was institutionalized basically from the age of 9, absolutely no family support.
What is actually the relevance of that? I'm not sure about that.
The relevance of his
institution. He seemed to tie it. You seem to think that he's not deterrable.
He's not what, Judge? I'm sorry.
Deterrable. Isn't that your view? Didn't you say something about specific deterrence? He's not deterrable.
Well, all I can address is the fact that
the person is not deterrable. Does that argue for a longer sentence or a shorter sentence?
Well, he got the longest sentence possible. But
that's not answering my question.
I would say it would probably be argued for a longer sentence if a person has absolutely no hope of rehabilitation. But that would be ignoring from where Mr. Hautaling comes from.
I thought you argued that he's not deterrable because of his, you know,
upbringing and so on. Didn't you say that?
I didn't say it was not deterrible. I was asking the court to consider the
factors.
Didn't
you say something about specific deterrence? Or maybe you didn't. Maybe I'm misunderstanding.
You know, what also weighs terribly on my mind is his continued offenses, including the possession of a weapon while he is in, while he's incarcerated.
Well, there's no doubt Mr. O'Talley has not shown the normal factors that one would hope after being in prison. I guess, again, I can only argue the weight against that are the factors that he never really had a chance to develop any kind of social coping skills based on the fact from the age of 9 to come out of an abusive home where there's violence and alcohol. He goes to the Wisconsin Juvenile Detention Center where he stays, it looks like, for 6 years, never receiving any proper mental treatment or even getting a GED.
This is what was troubling. This is on page 18 of your brief. You say individuals as afflicted with mental issues and physical issues as is Mr. Hautalin might make it more difficult to comply with the law, and so a heavy sentence would not have the deterrent effect on such a person.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, if a person is not deterrable, as it is, doesn't that argue for a longer sentence, right? He has to be incapacitated. If a person is deterrable, a short sentence might do it. Undeterrable, you just have to lock the person up, right?
My answer would be if he's undeterrable because of his mental and physical conditions.
Well, whatever the reason he's undeterrable, if he's undeterrable, he has to be locked up, right? Otherwise, it's going to be like a mad dog. He's going to go around killing people.
Or offer treatment.
So,
for
well,
his
treatment,
mental.
How often does treatment work? I mean, treatment. How do you treat a person like this? What do you do?
Well, right now he's being treated with Thorazine.
All right. Is your notion that he could be released tomorrow, and if he takes his Thorazine, we're safe? Is that the idea?
I would not make that statement, Judge. All I know is that he's never really, from the information that I uncovered, he's never really received any kind of mental health treatment. He, all this time in an institution, he didn't even get a high school degree.
Well, how would a high school degree? I don't understand.
Well, it just means that there's been no progress. And I don't have the answer as to what his mental treatment should be, but I just know he hasn't had anything that's ever addressed it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we had asked is, in considering the facts of this situation, is Mr. O'Talley's complete inability to carry out any type of threat. In every case that I read in these situations, there was always some form of outside contact with somebody who may have been capable of carrying out that threat.
Well, didn't he claim that he had that kind of ability?
He claimed it, but my position, that was only in his head, because there's simply no support for any organization that Mr. O'Talley is a part of.
But, I mean, given the ability of many prisoners to act through fellow prisoners, fellow gang members, he seems to be a follower of, Mr. Hale. I mean, that sort of, isn't that a possibility?
It is a possibility, but there's no, in fact, in his letter, he claims he's not the follower of Mr. Hale or the other individual.
Who's Richard Butler?
I'm sorry?
Who is Richard Butler?
I thought he was the individual on the East Coast who had some type of radio program, but I'm not even sure. There's just simply no record and no support for the fact that Mr. O'Talley was capable of carrying out any type of threat against anyone. He basically doesn't know how to read and is afflicted with these demons inside his head.
Didn't he write the letter himself?
He did.
Well, it's quite lucid.
Just from my personal experience asking him to read things, he had great difficulty in interpreting and sending them back to me.
Lucid may be the kindest word that could be said about that letter.
Well, it has some spelling errors, but okay. Well, you want to save your rest of time? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brandstetter. Mr. Hauser?
May it please the court.
So he raised an interesting point. Has Judge Lefkoe seen this letter?
There's nothing in the record about whether she ever actually read the letter. But the sentence didn't turn on that fact, and reasonably so. The district court reasonably emphasized the defendant's intent to cause severe emotional distress on Judge Lefkoe, and so whether or not she received the letter, the sentence is still reasonable.
It's a little odd to. I'm sorry. It's a little odd not to discuss the threat with the victim of the threat. Isn't that odd?
Well, there's nothing in the record about that. I mean, I can address that if you'd like, Your Honor. Understanding there's nothing.
If he hadn't pleaded guilty and there'd been a trial, she would surely have testified. No.
I believe that's correct.
No. I mean, you have to be convicted. The victim has to believe that a threat was made against him or her.
Well, it was addressed to her chambers, and the recipient has to have a reasonable belief that it's a threat, which the defendant.
I mean, did you send her the you know, the statement of victim rights, which is routinely sent to victims of?
Yes.
Well, then she must know about the threat.
Well, there's a difference
between. Just receive a letter which says, you know, You're a crime victim, and these are your rights, and so on.
Well, there's a difference between whether or not she read the letter or whether she was aware of the letter. So, I mean, I can say, again, there's nothing in the record about this, but I can say from my own personal experience that from involvement in the case that we spoke to her personally, advised her of her rights as a victim to weigh in on this if she wanted to.
I see. Okay, so you don't know whether she actually read it.
Yeah. Correct. And the reasonableness of the sentence shouldn't turn on that fact anyhow.
No, I didn't say it. Sure, I just was curious.
Would the facts in this case have supported an upward departure if we were still back in the days before Booker?
I don't know the answer to that question, and the reason why is I became an AUSA after Booker.
Uh-oh, you're supposed to know Marbury versus Madison.
Well, I know that. I've heard of that one, Judge, but I'm just not conversant in the standards that it took to get a sentence past the guideline range in the pre-Booker era, so I'm sorry I can't answer that question. But in the post-Booker era, I can say something about that, which is that the district court reasonably emphasized how the defendant, since being in prison, has become more dangerous, not less. He's become more hardened.
I think under the guidelines, he might have received a vulnerable victim enhancement. Because obviously, you know, this is exploiting the vulnerability of the particular victim. It's a very personal letter. It's not just a general scribe against Gentiles married to Jews, right? So it's
or against the judiciary in general. It's very personal as to what happened to Judge Lefkoe in her particular circumstances.
And as it happens, of course, he had his facts wrong.
That's correct. About the ethnicity of the murder victims, that's correct. He did have his facts wrong. The district court also reasonably emphasized the awful nature of the letter. The defendant intended to cause emotional harm to someone who'd suffered a terrible personal tragedy, and that his threat was entirely unnecessary to accomplish his aim of manipulating the criminal justice system. So for those reasons, unless there are any further questions, the government would respectfully request that the district court sentence be affirmed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hauser. Mr. Brandstrader, do you have anything further?
Judge, only that.
Well, we have to come to the, or else you won't be,
for the tape
you
recording.
Won't be recorded.
Yeah. We'd only ask on behalf of Mr. O'Talley, Judge, that the sentence imposed, the maximum sentence imposed in this case, despite the scurrilous nature of what Mr. O'Talley did, weighed against his background and his disabilities, mental and physical. We'd only ask the court to be fair and just to one who is not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Branchan. You were appointed.
Yes, Judge.
So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you, Judge.
You really did do a wonderful job. Very fine.
Thank you, Judge.
Just in the finest tradition.
My next case for argument.